Have you ever been addicted to something? Pretty personal question. And in a world we live in where addiction to drugs, alcohol, pharmaceutical, recreational, mind-altering substances, and then gambling, shopping, addictions of I want to feel good, so I'm going to do some stuff to make my brain feel happier or more satisfied or better. Addiction seems to be a really negative word. But what if we could get people addicted to being healthy, being fit, being strong, addicted to high intense activity so they could be really fit, lift heavy so they could be really strong, and then addicted to high performance fuel, top level, high class food so that their body was driven by the fuel that could then get them to get puffed, lift heavy to be fit and strong? What if we could addict people to that? And interestingly, if we study, which I have been now for a very long time, if we study the connection between the body and the brain, if we study the connection between all the body systems, we have the brain chemistry, neurotransmitting chemicals on our side. We can addict people to the feeling of being fit, being strong, being healthy. And we can certainly addict people to the dopamine, endorphin, serotonin rush that they will get if they intensely move their body. And interestingly, we've probably done this very poorly because as exercise professionals, medical professionals, even dietitians, nutritionists, we tell people what they can and can't do, what they can and can't eat, what they mustn't have, shouldn't have, don't have. And we focus a lot on the negative. Have you noticed? People, when they go to the gym or to the personal trainer or to an exercise professional or a dietitian, it's all about I'll eat as much as I possibly can of my favorite foods because my person who's going to look after my body will probably tell me that I can't have all the foods that I love. They're going to give me foods that I don't want. They're going to give me exercise that takes up a lot of my time. And we all automatically start people in a negative process. How do we addict people to something if it starts off negatively? And I'm talking now with as much passion and positivity as possible to ask the question, what if our kids, what if our future world, the humans that live on the planet, were addicted to, couldn't live without the feeling of being healthy, fit and strong, were addicted to powerful, high intense exercise so they could be really fit, have fast twitch muscle fibers that stay with them for the rest of their life, were addicted to having strong muscles and bones so they could keep lifting, moving, doing, sprinting, punching, kicking, playing sport, dancing, doing all the things that the human body is capable of doing for its whole entire life if it's really fit and really strong? How could we addict people to that? The beautiful thing about brain chemistry, and this is, I get really excited about this, I hope you do too, is the chemicals, the neurotransmitters that addict us to recreational pharmaceutical drugs, gambling, smoking, shopping, exercise, healthy eating, being healthy, are all the same. The brain responds to those neurochemicals, those neurotransmitters. Dopamine is a reward drug. So we want to be rewarded. We want to feel rewarded. We want to feel like we've done something amazing, which is why when people gamble and they win money, they have a dopamine rush. Look what I did. I won money. If I get 10,000 likes on Facebook or social media, look what I did. And I get a dopamine rush. I get a reward drug rush through my brain to say, wow, you're an amazing human being. The chemicals that are in recreational and pharmaceutical drugs are synthesized dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, even brain-derived neurotropic factor. We're trying to produce those chemically outside of the body so that we feel good inside our brain. The amazing thing about the human body, however, is it produces all of those neurochemicals, those neurotransmitters, under stress. And if we put our own body under stress, and I share that passionately because the human body is a survival mechanism. It's everything we do is about survival. So whenever we're under threat, whenever we're stressed, whenever things aren't going well, the body produces all the chemicals that we need to be able to fight the threat or to get away from it. And those chemicals are very powerful. Epinephrine, adrenaline, cortisol, the stress drugs that increase our blood pressure, increase blood fats, blood sugar, so that we can sprint, so that we can punch hard, kick hard, get away from the threat or kill the threat. They are produced almost instantly when we're under stress. The beautiful thing about exercise is that we can produce our own stress. There's plenty of stress in the world, and when we get angry or somebody tries to hurt us or somebody is nasty to us or something bad happens, we automatically produce cortisol, epinephrine, adrenaline because our body needs to move and get away from there. But if we exercise really hard, if we push our body with intense activity, we automatically produce those neurochemicals. And that those by themselves, once they are dispersed, and we have to disperse them because if they stay inside the body and you've got increased blood fats, increased blood sugar, a high heart rate, high blood pressure, of course that's not good. And what happens when we sprint really hard, lift really heavy, we obviously disperse all those movement drugs, and then they are replaced with dopamine, serotonin, brain drive, neurotropic factor, reward drug, satisfaction drug, fertilizer for our brain. We feel good. We get addicted to that feeling. The challenge we've got as exercise professionals is if we don't understand that process effectively, we start giving people long, boring exercise programs that take too long and then aren't intense enough. The human body is designed to get away from the threat really quickly. We don't walk away from the wild animal. We don't have a chat, stop and have a chat with it and hope that we can talk it out of hurting us. We either run away, sprint away from it, or we kill it. There's the two options. It's called fight and flight for a reason. So if we take exercise away from fight and flight, so we take it into the aerobic system where we're not putting that much pressure on the system, then we have an exercise program that we won't get addicted to, we just get bored with. And I share that with as much unpassionate voice intonation as I possibly can, because is it possible that a long, boring, monotonous exercise class program is not something that people will get addicted to? And you might be, because you've been doing it for a long time, and when you look in the mirror and you like the way you look, could there be a dopamine rush from that? So we then connect the long boring exercise that we've been doing with the way we look in the mirror, so we get a dopamine rush from that. So we go, okay, I want to keep getting that, so I'm going to keep doing my long boring exercise. But I always ask this question: if there was a shorter, safer, more effective, less boring, less monotonous, less time-consuming way to get the same result, would we want to offer that at least to the people that are asking us for advice? So regardless of what you do with your exercise program, would it be a really good idea to think about the physiology of how the human body works, fight and flight, and keep people as close to the 100% effort as possible? And I always ask that question: if I put in less than 100% effort, how can I expect 100% result? If I start plod jogging, if I start pacing myself, if I start, oh, I have to just work my way through this 45-minute class or this 1-hour walk or this 30-minute plod jog, what does that do for my body apart from make me bored and take me away from being addicted to this exercise? If I want people to get that dopamine rush, serotonin rush, brain drive, neurotropic rush, and when I say the brain drive, neurotropic factor rush, the important thing there is that that causes neurogenesis and neuroplasticity, which means I think differently. I grow new brain cells and I think differently. If my body overcame stress, if my body overcame a problem, if my body overcame a challenge, now it says, okay, we did that once. Next time I want to do it better. How can we do it better? And again, that goes back to if we got away from the animal, if we fought and killed the animal, we go, well, okay, that's going to happen to us again. We have to get better at it. The human body is designed to keep getting better, to keep improving, to keep getting fitter and to keep getting stronger. But of course, how can that happen if we don't force it to? If we just keep doing more of what we're already capable of doing, how would we get fitter? How would we get stronger? How would we get a smarter brain? So what I'm asking as an exercise professional, and if you are a parent, a teacher, a coach, a boss, or a leader, somebody who's responsible for people loving exercise, loving it, not plodding through it to lose weight, burn calories and scared of getting fat. I'm talking about loving exercise because it produces chemicals in my brain that makes me feel good, makes me think clearly, makes me perform better. Is it possible that we need to keep people as close to their 100% effort as possible? And if we start telling people what to eat and what they can't eat and what they have to eat and what they mustn't and shouldn't and how often they can and can't eat and all the things that go with food. Is it possible that if I've got a high performance body and I'm really fit and I'm really strong and my brain's working effectively, that I'll figure that out for myself? We have a lot of exercise professionals who get really involved in nutrition and nutrition supplements and telling people what to eat. Is it possible that everybody has different likes and dislikes with food? We've all got different calorie requirements. We've all got different macronutrient requirements. We're all individual people. And would it be interesting to take note that if I've got a high performance body and I want to get really puffed and I want to get lift really heavy, I want to get fit and strong and my brain's working effectively, that I might actually figure out for myself that eating crappy, low nutritious foods probably not a good idea. And I wouldn't need somebody to tell me what to eat and how much to eat and how often I should eat. I might be able to figure that out for myself. And even if I don't figure it out for myself and I do go to get professional advice, would I go with a better mindset than please tell me what to eat because I just want to lose weight? Wouldn't it be nice if the world was addicted to high performance food, high performance exercise, looking and feeling the absolute best we possibly can? And does that come from telling people what to eat and what they can't eat? And does that come from giving people long, boring, monotonous exercise programs? Or could that come from high, intense change of neurochemistry so that we get addicted to our healthy eating and we get addicted to our high, intense activity so we want to keep doing it for the rest of our life? Wouldn't that be awesome? Great question.